Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls out there in Radio Free Mafia Line. This is me, your host, Wayne Klingman. And before we bring in our guest, I must tell you some important information that you need to know. I've been doing podcasts off and on now for probably 10 years. And this is the first time in my life, I had someone try to pay me to have a guest. Yes, someone identifying themselves as Steve Wendt offered me a two-week vacation, all expenses paid, with Amy Adams and Lindsay Lohan, if I not bring on this guest. Therefore, I had no choice but to put this guest of mine in a secret lockdown location so we could bring him on this show tonight so we could learn everything there is to know about slot machines. Yes, sir, I give you the one, the two, the very cool, the very, very good-looking Mr. Joshua O'Connell. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Doing very well. How are you?
I can't complain. So, first question out of the box. What got you interested in slot machines?
You know, I played my first slot machine right after I turned 21. I went to Foxwoods, one of the biggest resorts in the country, found what I thought was the casino, had $40 in my wallet. I almost ran out of money, and then I won 50, and I left. And that was so my first casino trip was a little bit of an experience like that. I came to find out that I found one small casino out of six, so little did I know, obviously. But I think that's the way it is for a lot of people. They don't know much when they start. And I've always been fascinated with technology and computers, so my interest in slots kind of evolved out of that and sort of fueled my interest in learning more and more.
That's incredible. I mean, I played like my parents, when they're still alive, lived close to Holchunk Casino, which was maybe 5 minutes from where they lived. And we would go there and spend a couple of bucks, maybe $20, maybe $30. And that would be an evening, right? When my stepfather became involved after my father died, we did the same thing. But the old that casino, when he would go and play, went another way to get the older vets in and give them the free coffee and the free soda, and they'd play all day. And I have to believe that they didn't do it because they were nice. It was nice to think they were doing that, but because they knew these old guys would spend $20-$30 a piece over a course of a few hours. You had 20 people there, that's a lot of money. I mean, slot machines do make the casinos quite a bit of money, don't they?
Slot machines have one of the highest house advantages, which means what percentage of your wagers are captured by the casino over time versus most every other game. There's a couple of games that will pay the casino more. Live Keno, for instance, has an even worse player sort of payback ratio. But slot machines are better for the casino than most table games. And so as a result, they obviously put a lot of energy and effort into making sure they're both enticing and in full supply when you come. So for sure, they are big money makers for the casino. They don't require staff other than a few people to pay out hand pays or fixed machines. So from a labor perspective, it's also less expensive.
Cool. So how much maintenance does it take to keep a slot machine running?
It really depends on the casino. Sometimes slot machines need to be updated because they want to change the game. They want to move them around to make the games closer to the door more exciting, or you know, replace old machines with new ones. But aside from that, machines don't get touched very much other than to put paper in to print out tickets and you know, fix common issues that might happen where the machine needs to just be reset. You know, older machines will take more care, but you know, just like your computer at home, once it's up and running, it's usually pretty good for a while, you know?
Yeah, years and years, I expect that if a player is abusing a slot machine for whatever reason, that player's probably has to leave. I'm going to assume that for a fact, right? Like if I show up and start hitting my slot machine with a sledgehammer, they're going to kick me the hell out.
Well, not just kick you out, but they'll charge you for it. I've actually witnessed firsthand a player break a slot machine, and ultimately that player was sent a bill, from my understanding, so.
Somebody actually attacked the slot machine.
They got so angry at the slot machine, they started banging on it and broke the glass.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's wild. That is wild.
And it's not unusual either when you think about it. That's why the machines are built to be as strong as possible.
Okay. I mean, I lost my time or two playing slot machines in the local and you can see and yeah, I probably was a little bit upset. But the worst I do is say some inflate words and leave. Wow, I expect that somebody might have lost more than a couple of bucks, huh?
It depends, you know, what might be a lot of money to one person, as you were saying before, may not be a lot of money to another, right? That $20 may be the last $20 someone has, and they may get so frustrated if they lose it that they start banging on the machine. You know, some players banging on the machine is a matter of course. They just, you know, they hit the machines, they slap the buttons. Some people really abuse the machine. So they're designed to take a lot of abuse, but, you know, there's a giving point to anything.
Absolutely. And all a modern slot machine is today is basically a computer, in other words. Basically, it's a computer with a program in it that's designed to pay out according to the program that's inserted in the machine, correct?
Yeah, even the ones with physical reels have a computer underneath the hood. We're a long ways away now from sort of the basic three-reel machines that existed in the early days of slot machines. These are all computer-driven, programming under the hood, and what's happening on the screen is just sort of the outcome that the computer has already sort of rendered once you hit the spin button.
Right, so the whole thing, by the time you press that button, release it, right, the machine's already figured out you're winning or you're going to lose. You figure out what little pretty display is going to take place, correct?
The way they make it fair is it's exactly that. We're assuming we're talking, of course, about like a Vegas-style slot machine, which I can explain what I mean by that in a minute. But basically, the moment you hit the spin button, that determines what the outcome will be. So there's people who think, oh, I can stop the reels and change the outcome. Slots are not a skill-based game as a general rule. The standard slot machine is not designed to be – you can't stop the reels to a bigger win or a lesser win. Once you hit spin and start those reels going, everything is determined at that millisecond, and what you see on the screen is the final outcome of that.
Right. So there's such guys for years. I, as a child playing with my father, it was something – I forget the name of the machine is making a difference. But we hit the button, some things did what they did, and then we had to press down the button because we had to make decisions. So we pressed according – we button for that decision. It wasn't a poker game, right? And then it did some more stuff. But it wasn't the combination of buttons that we pushed. All that was predetermined by the time we pressed the first button, correct?
Yeah, I mean, even when you have games like – so, for instance, in North Carolina, in Virginia, there's the notion of a nudge slot machine where you can – quote unquote with skill control by nudging a reel up or down. But the reality is that the way the reels initially land means it already knows if it's going to pay you or not, even with the nudge. So it's not really truly a skill-based game. It's already been determined. So even when there's quote unquote control over the outcome, the machine already knows what the possible payout could be, even that in that scenario. And if you mess it up, you've just sort of forfeited the pay. Otherwise, it already knows it's going to pay you.
Or the situation might be. And I know that, correct me if I'm wrong, because it might make me the biggest fool on earth. I know I like to play a slot machine, that once in a while I get to see pretty pictures. I think the one that I played at one time was Monopoly. It was pretty cool. We won something. You know, what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
There was one with Cats, 13 Cats, I think it was called, where whatever happened, you could press certain, you could select what, it would jump to different things, right? But you'd have that controller thing that would jump up, and that was always nice to watch.
So you're talking – so what happens with slot machines is that the initial spin is obviously controlled by that button press. But
right.
you can trigger a bonus or a feature, and sometimes there is what's called a true pick, which means you might see 15 choices on the screen, and what you pick actually is what you get. And so your picking, therefore, determines what you get.
I know.
Now – it's mathematically designed so that some bonuses will be really good and some won't, right? There's some number of end games and things like that built into it, and mathematically they know that X percent of the time this will happen, right? But there's also what's called a predetermined bonus, which it doesn't really matter what you pick. It's going to give you what it's already got planned. And the way you can usually tell the difference is if it's a picking one, does it show you everything that you didn't pick? So, like, if you picked number one, does it show you what's behind number two? And if it does, that means that your choice actually was rendered as part of the decision-making of the game. If it doesn't show you, then it knew it was going to give you that from the beginning.
Okay. And the idea of the machine, it's just what, give me that illusion that I have more control than I might have passed, really, because it wants me to play some more, right?
Well, I mean, so there are some people who love the idea. There are some gamblers that love the idea that they have control of their own destiny, right? So a true pick game is more interesting to them. The reality is that the games are designed that it doesn't matter. The true pick games, you're going to pick losing choice the first time just as often as you're going to pick the losing choice the last time, right? So they have – these are – we talked about these being computers. These are being designed by what I would consider like A-level mathematicians. These are people that are geniuses, people that know math that, at a level that you wish they were doing your taxes if they were accountants, right? But the idea behind all of this is that they are doing really complex mathematical calculations to make these games pay exactly what they want it to pay. And that's how they know that the casino is going to make money over time. So that includes how's the bonus design. That includes how often you win. That includes how much you can win. Does it have a progressive or not? And if it does that mean that it takes money from other parts of the game? All of this are decisions on how they want to design the game. And it all just comes down to a simple Excel spreadsheet at the end of the day or something like it.
Wow. So the idea of designing a slot machine today versus what it might have been, say, in 1920, right, is a lot more, I'm going to use the word complicated, because there's a lot more into it. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so if you think about the old school three-reel slot machines, there used to be X number of places the reels could stop. There are X number of symbols that are on that reel. So there's a limited number of outcomes. You know, some thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, depending on how many of each, right? And so you can quickly do the math and understand what percentage of the time each of these things can happen. So that's similar to video poker, right? Video poker has a deck of 52 cards. There's only so many ways you can deal those 52 cards, and there's only so many ways you can make hands. So you can calculate with accuracy what percentage of the time things will happen. On newer slot machines, on computerized slot machines, those video screens, it's just a computer monitor, there's no physical limitation. Those reels that you see spinning could have 150 symbols on it, you wouldn't know, right? But that means that it's much more complicated math because there's so many more outcomes that can happen. And even that whole idea is a simplification, right? Like you can choose how often it stops in a specific spot on the reels. And so it's not an equal distribution. So this is why it's, you know, a much more complicated thing. But at the end of the day, for a player, they hit the button, the reels come to a stop, and it's just like it was before. But it is a much more complicated piece of machinery than it was at the beginning.
Well, absolutely, without a doubt. And again, what fascinates me is we know that slot machines pay the casinos a lot of money for as an investment, right? Do we have any idea how much money slot machines might make? For a typical casino, a ballpark guess would be fine.
So it's not always obvious to know, but you have hints about it. So if you take a look online, many states that have commercial casinos are require the casinos to report what their coin in, which is how much has been bet, and their coin out, which is how much has been paid. And then you do the difference and you figure out, how much money has been made in that month, right? And so you don't get a machine by machine. But the average slot machine collects anywhere between 85 and or pays out between 85 and 95%, which means it collects between 5 and 15%. So for every $100 that a wager is made, a casino will traditionally make somewhere between $5 and $15 on average, right? And you say on average because I could hit a jackpot and you could sit down and put $100 in and win nothing, right? Over time, the line smooths out, right? So you paid for my jackpot as well as probably a bunch of other people. And so that's the idea, right? So that's how you have winners and losers. Short-term outcomes don't matter because in the long term it'll head that way.
Absolutely.
A couple $100 per machine per day wouldn't be surprising, right? I think that's what I usually see on reports, $200, $300 per machine per day. And, you know, these casinos have thousands of machines many times, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, right? So these are clearly very highly revenue generating. Now, that doesn't count taxes, payouts, marketing spend, staff. But, you know, that gives you an idea of, like, what they can draw. And it's certainly going to be at a higher level than, you know, 100 table games can generate, depending on what types of games you have.
Right, because the casino, you don't have to pay a dealer. You know, you don't have to pay for all of the things. You just have to make sure the machine works, that people can play it, they get paid, they can be on their way, maybe have a couple of drinks, maybe have a meal, you know, to keep them there, keep them happy. It's got to be quite the financial bonanza for a casino. And I don't know which way I went to. I'll take it this way, because that made me think of another question, sequence. But slots can make casinos so much money that literally the mafia could steal by changing the scale weights, right? Because they have to count the money by weighing it. And if I understand it correctly, they had a person who could change how the scales worked. So say $10 worth, 10 pounds of quarters would equal $100. could make that scale, instead of weigh the quarters at 100 pounds, right, would weigh at 10 pounds. And that's a lot of money just came off, but yet nobody really missed it. That's a lot of money that goes through a casino. We must be talking millions.
Sure. I think the thing to keep in mind, though, is that most casinos have shifted to a largely cashless operation when it comes to an individual session. So a lot of those things have been eliminated by way of no more coins and machines. There are very few places that let you play coins. If you go to Las Vegas, you'll find like Circus, El Cortez. I think Plaza may have a few left. But you have these old school coin slot machines that are still around. But for the most part, they have what's called a Tito system, ticket in, ticket out. And they're trying to discourage cash, and they're just trying to make you sort of have this piece of paper that you take from slot to slot. I think it's probably in part to also get you to forget that you're holding money, just like holding chips is not really holding money in people's minds, right? They have chips to spend. But it certainly reduces the risk of that because you're not churning cash in and out as much anymore. Now it's more just like, sort of like a bank balance moving around the casino.
Bank balance, absolutely. And I understand that the ticket in, ticket out system staps a skim to a certain degree. We know this. We also know that with coins are really, really dirty things, and with our now public awareness of germs, that I think we'll see probably the end of coins, if not more greatly reduced, because nobody wants somebody else. I mean, I collect casino chips, right? And the last set I got came with a note saying this chip was cleaned, and how it was cleaned. And I'm thinking, why would they do this for? This is pre-virus. Right? Yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking all the nice service that people have and people share, and nobody really wants that. I'm sure the casinos don't want to deal with that. It makes them a lot easier, in fact, even cheaper to continue to operate. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Well, even now, the tickets that they have, there are certain casinos, and I think the Wynn introduced this in Las Vegas recently, where they don't even give you change back anymore. So let's say you put a ticket in for $50.60. It used to be that you would get $50 in cash and 60 cents in change. Now they just print the ticket for 60 cents. If you really want your 60 cents, you have to go to the cashier. But most people either leave it around or hand it to someone, or maybe they'll go to a slot and play it off. But now they're not even putting coins in the machine. So now think about how much less maintenance. All you have to do is put some bills in and you're done. It's just kind of a slow and steady move. It's usually labor costs and saving money more so than like trying to get money out of people's pockets. I'm sure for the reasons you're talking about, also having less change on the floor certainly reduces the risk of that happening too.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the piece of paper that's at 60 cents, does Joe Blow from Kokomo, is he going to go to that cashier, or is he going to give it to somebody else, or is he going to throw it on the floor? That would explain why last time I went to Potawatomi, you could see kind of the paper on the floor with like 15 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents, because people are throwing it on the table. And they had people, I'm not there to play the games, and people there to pick up those slots of paper. And once the security people saw them, they were politely escorted out the door. Right.
Yes, because in some states it's considered stealing even if it's a dime. But one thing that I've seen a few casinos do that I actually will respect is donation bins. So if you get one of those little tickets, you can drop the ticket in a leave the Cosmo also introduced a donation option on the machine, so you can choose a charity instead of getting the ticket, so it'll just donate that money to charity. Now, I'm sure the Cosmo is enjoying a small but helpful write-off on charitable donations by that, but still at the same time, it does reduce the money just kind of just going into their wallet.
And it's all good because, obviously, I don't have a problem with casinos. I absolutely love them to death, right? In fact, I went to spend the last day of my life at the Golden Gate. But you know, they're in business to make money, right? And I got no problems with them making money because obviously the players are enjoying the experience. I know he's forcing them to play. I think, in my opinion, overall people are treated well at casinos and not being ripped off. So why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can make money by playing a slot machine that gets entertained by it, again, why not? You know, let's get 20 minutes before the show starts, drop 10 bucks, see what happens. You never know. Huh, interesting. Now, I can compare casinos to my gas station down the street. It's illegal to have these in the city of Racine, but this gas station has three video flat machines, right? Your typical basic ones they look like. I have no idea how much they pay out. I can tell you from the time that the gas station opens in the morning at 6 a.m. to the time that it closes at night, which is around 11, there's a person in front of each of those machines. And when that person gets done, somebody else is there to take their place.
Mm-hmm.
Those machines must be making them a lot of money. And I'm shocked that the city doesn't do more to at least get a piece of that.
So to the first point about are they making a lot of money, they wouldn't be there taking
up
real estate on the floor, right?
Right.
Of course. As far as why the state's not taking money, though, so it depends. So I was reading about the fact that there are machines in Virginia that are sort of in a gray area, in North Carolina that are in a gray area, and so the state tries to shut them down or create new rules, and then they just change the machines to get around the rules, right? So that's part of the challenge that everybody faces, is that, you know, there are, when you legalize certain things or you set rules,
right,
as if the rules aren't airtight, you open the door to things like that, and then it can just take them a while to work around it. Sometimes they may not know about it, and then it gets reported, and then the place gets shut down, right? So there's illegal machines. I was 4 years old, and my grandfather was a member of this really tight, exclusive club, and they had four illegal video poker machines, at least I believe they were illegal, that were in that club for most of my childhood, and I would sit on my grandmother's lap, and I would play Jacks or Better on her lap. And so maybe that's my slots really isn't my true intro to gambling. It's video poker. So I think it's a lot of that kind of stuff happening.
Sure.
I don't know specifically Wisconsin, but definitely in other parts of the country, there's sort of these gray area things. The same thing's happening with online gambling. There's some states that it's legal, some states that it's not, but then there's companies that are sort of looking at the loopholes and developing solutions that technically follow the law, but maybe not the spirit of the law. Right. And so it's just a matter of those types of things.
Yeah, and again, as long as it's free will and stuff, I don't have a problem. People down there are over 18. They're making decisions what to do with their own money. Don't get a problem with that. I just find it's fascinating. It's this aspect that I find fascinating. Those machines are supplied by the same entertainment company, right? If you don't
Not always.
Have
a, sometimes the, oh, sometimes the ones
scene,
that
are
like
supplied
by...
Yep. I want to use your scene as an example. Let me be clear on this, right?
Yep.
When you get those machines from this company or scene, nobody gives you a hard time. It's like, you can shoot somebody, probably nobody's going to care much. But God forbid, if you get your machine from somebody else, the cops would be living at your gas station or your restaurant. Not that the scene would be corrupt. Not that this company has some type of inside deal with the different policemen to make sure those things happen. Never, not that the scene. I just found that interesting, to say the least. But I apologize. I always have to branch them when I talk to that machine. So I'm shocked that the gas station, less than a block away from police headquarters, the cops don't know what's going on. But again, beside the point, let's talk about video poker. Is when I go to a casino and I see that video poker there, right? It's set up as like a slot machine might be. Am I playing a slot machine or am I playing a video? If I'm playing poker.
If you are in a Las Vegas-style casino, which means games that are similar to what you'll find in Las Vegas, it has to be based on a true deck of cards, which means it's not a slot machine. It's not press the button and your outcome is automatically decided. Your decisions actually are part of the outcome. So you need to actually – it's like blackjack. It's a game of skill as much as it's a game of chance. You are dealt the cards you're dealt, but if you know how to play the game, you can maximize your payout.
Wow. Huh. I learned something tonight. So I'm surprised that – so I'll say then that the video poker games are much more popular than normal slot machines, or did I have that wrong?
So the video poker games are more popular with a subset of players. If you look at the casino floor, slots will be the dominant. Video poker will usually be small clumps around it, but won't be nearly as big as the slot floor. But there's definitely an avid fan base for video poker, in part because the payback is not only better than slots, but it's written right on the machine. You can look at exactly what it pays for each hand and know to a precision point of how much you're going to get paid, because again, it's a true deck of cards. So there's only so many outcomes. So someone else has already done this math, and you can say, well, if it pays me this for a full house and this for a flush and this for a straight, I know what this game is and what it's going to pay me, and you can make the decision about whether that's worth it to you.
Well, it's incredible. Now, switching subjects back to slot machines and how they work and the like, in your opinion, how much psychology do you think goes into the design and how a slot machine is going to work?
Oh, lots. If you look at the way a slot machine is designed, there's a lot of different things that are used to psychologically entice people to play and stay. One is, of course, the theming of it. You see things like licenses of TVs and movies. There's 007 slots. There's Monopoly slots, like you mentioned, right? So obviously that's going to try to draw in fans of those various properties and those themes, as well as just sort of game themes that people have grown to love over the years in the casinos that sort of are ever present. There's psychology and how the games are designed, there's what's called a near miss, which, you know, you get two bonus symbols and the third one is kind of peeking up in the top edge, right? That doesn't mean that you just missed a bonus, right? It's designed to give you that. And there's actually in Nevada state law a ratio of misses to hits that many slot machines are governed by. So they can't do that too much because it's actually shown psychologically that the near miss is more exciting than the actual bonus. It's like it gets the adrenaline pumping. So those are just a couple of examples, but psychology is definitely an aspect of this. If the games aren't fun and keeping people going, they get replaced by games that are. So, you know, the casino managers, the slot developers, they're watching carefully what people are responding to, what people like, what people don't like, and they're constantly evolving these games to react to those things.
So then when, because you talk about themes, right, and properties, like to develop a little stuff. Let's do Simpsons, right? So when my friend Jason Love and I went to the Panawanami machine, Panawanami casino, they had a Simpsons machine. And I think Jason and I spent $20 on that because we wanted to get Bart Simpson to say something. You know, and we obviously not saying anything to him, but we wanted that to happen. Interesting.
There's all sorts of games now. Seinfeld, Wonka. The Big Bang Theory is a really popular one right now. So there's just a lot of themes now.
I have to ask, what kind of fun things happen with the Big Bang Theory machine?
So a lot of the TV and movie-based themes, they'll have clips of the show. So, you know, before something exciting happens, like a bonus lands, you'll see a little clip of a joke or something from the show. You hear the characters' voices. You see animations. You know, the themes are all designed with bonuses that sort of connect into the ethos of the show. Bazinga, you know, is a symbol on the reel. So all of that stuff is, you know, part of what gets people immersed in this game and make it more fun.
Right, and then what you said yourself, immersed. They want you to feel as much of the experience of that game, i.e. property, as possible, because they want you to stay and keep on playing, even when you're losing, for that hope that you might get something that you will enjoy seeing, right?
Absolutely. Part of time on device, which is the casino sort of measurement of how long you play on a machine, is certainly an important aspect of it. So they want games that are going to keep you engaged and having fun for a while. There are certain games that are designed with so many little Easter eggs and things like that that they hope that people will keep playing and find out that they exist, so they'll want to keep playing and see what else is in there.
How do you define Easter egg? What do you mean?
So, for instance, Lightning Link, which is a popular series of casino games in the casino, the company that developed it actually boldly stated at one point that they have devised what they consider a 10-year math model. They mean that the games will continually introduce new things to players over the course of years and keep them engaged. One example is there's the Grand Jackpot, which starts at $10,000 and it grows as people play the machines, and it can randomly go off on any spin. So you could just be hit. You could just hit the button, and then suddenly, bam! You just won over $10,000. Now imagine you being in a casino and you seeing something like that happening, or you hear that something like that happened. You're going to want to play the game and try to see if you can make it happen for yourself. And that's just one example of many on this game. And so they design these things with like really random things that can happen that can develop a huge amount of excitement, not only for people around the casino, but you'll see people talking about it online. And so part of it's the buzz that a game can leverage that keeps people interested in wanting to play it.
That's incredible. They must have focus groups to study that, right?
They are constantly testing ideas with people all over the world. These companies get people together all the time. They test games in development. They run ideas by it. They do focus group sessions. I've actually been on a couple of slot tours myself, and they've asked us questions when we're part of it to kind of get a better understanding of what we're into and see what we like. I've been in showrooms and been able to see games that are under development. So, yeah, they definitely love to get that feedback and understand what people like.
Wow. So how do I get a job? How do I get a job doing that?
So if you're living in the right markets, Las Vegas is clearly one of them. I believe Atlantic City comes up quite a bit. You know, places where there's a lot of casinos, and therefore a lot of players, they'll have, you know, offices, and they'll do focus groups in the offices or on, you know, at a property. They'll rent a, you know, a ballroom and set up some machines and do that kind of stuff. So generally speaking, location is a huge part of it. They really haven't gotten to the point where they can do them online yet, but I suppose that that'll be something in the future. But generally, if you're in Las Vegas, and, you know, just keep an eye out, because they'll tend to put postings up for these things if they're looking for new players, especially on their Facebooks and that kind of stuff.
Wow, this is incredible. How do I get a job designing the machines?
So that I'm not 100% sure about, but as I said, if you're a mathematician, that's certainly going to give you a leg up, because that's one aspect of it. And then, of course, you know, a lot of slot machines have modern day links to video game design in terms of the detail of the artwork and the way that these render, right?
Sure.
You know, these are still computer programs just like on a video game. So, you know, Scientific Games, which acquired WMS, which was one of the biggest slot machine companies for a long time. WMS used to be Williams, the video game and pinball machine company, right?
Sure.
So, you know, they took their knowledge in terms of developing engaging video games and transformed it into slots, and that sort of revolutionized away from the three-reel slots into truly leveraging video technology and doing really cool things with it. And so you kind of have the mathematician aspect of designing a game, and then you have the theme and graphics aspect of designing a game. And usually you have a small team that works together. You'll sometimes see them referred to as studios that are developing some number of games per year together, you know?
This is fascinating.
Just like video games, you have like EA has like studios across the country developing video games. It's the same thing for slot machine manufacturers.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely fascinating. And I expect then you have more than one or two psychologists to get the psychology properly, because you want that information as well. You know,
there's a lot of things that you look at. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. That's meant to mean millions of dollars to develop a new machine, you think?
Say that again?
Sure. Millions of dollars to develop a new slot machine?
So it depends, right? So there's a few different pieces to it. There's the hardware, which obviously requires a good amount of development, because you need to develop a machine that's going to survive and last. You know, some of these machines last 10, 15 years. But once you have the hardware, now you're just developing software for it. It's like, you know, you've got your PlayStation, so what games can you run on it? And some games are built differently than others. For instance, you know, there's the Quick Hit series, and there's sort of certain things that are always required for a Quick Hit game. So you might not need to do as much development compared to like a brand new theme or integrating video or things like that, right? So obviously licensed games, where you have much more attention to detail, your Wizard of Oz's and those types of things, are probably going to cost a lot more than, you know, a more basic game that's part of a set of games that they release to sort of fill out their line. And then there's also there's clones of games. So you might have the exact same math under the hood, the exact same payouts, but with different graphics. And so then you can sort of spread your development costs over a couple of games. And you see that quite a bit as well. But could it go into the millions? Absolutely. It wouldn't surprise me at all to hear that some games are costing that much to develop, given the amount of effort that goes into them. They spend a year or more developing some of these more prominent ones.
Sure. I can't believe that licensing the banana stuff, that game didn't cost them a pretty penny. Or James Bond wasn't cheaper as The Simpsons. Wow. I mean, to think that slot machines are simple is nothing, to my opinion, as far as than the truth, correct?
They do a very good job of making something really complex seem relatively simple.
And that's to get people, in your opinion, do you think that's to get people to play them and trust, or simply because we don't want to complicate things for a player?
Generally speaking, when a game gets too complicated, it'll have its avid fans who get into it, but it doesn't draw the same level of broad appeal as simpler games. The reason why a game like Lightning Link or Wheel of Fortune, for instance, works is that it's very easy to understand what's happening. You know, on Wheel of Fortune, your goal is to spin the wheel, right? So you know if you get the wheel spin, that it's an exciting moment. You know, on a game like Lightning Link, if you get enough of the balls with numbers on them, that you're going to get a bonus where you collect as many as you can. So, like, The simpler a game is to understand by just being able to play it intuitively without spending 10 minutes reading the pay table, the more likely that game's going to get played over time. The Simpsons actually didn't really last very long in casinos in many cases, because it was kind of a hard game and also was a little bit confusing on how some of the bonuses worked for some players. And so, you know, they didn't always know what was going on, and you kind of move on when you're getting lost, right? It's just not fun anymore.
Yeah, not fun anymore, right? Yeah, and again, with Jason and I, we were just trying to get Martin to say something. We didn't care what else was going on. yeah. Interesting.
Right.
I just find this whole thing absolutely fascinating because, to me, I think the gaming industry spends an awful lot of time, as many industries do, to encourage or get people to play. That would mean they have to develop a trust. They have to develop loyalty because the player has to know if I'm playing a slot machine, I will have to know that that machine, if I do, I'm supposed to do correctly, even random chance, then I get my money, right? I don't have to beg for it or pay more than I need to or anything else. That if I press in a three, whatever come up, I would get paid something. Interesting. So I have to ask you a question. What is a progressive slot machine and how does that work, sir?
So a progressive slot is similar to other slot machines, but if you look at the top screen or above the reels, you'll see one or more numbers that is a jackpot. A progressive jackpot is a specific type of jackpot that increases based on either wagers or wins. So, and usually there's exceptions, but that's the predominant case is when you bet, it goes up. And the number will grow. And either one of two things happens. Either it grows until it's won, which means it could be millions of dollars at some point. There was, an MGM grand slot machine that had a jackpot that grew for something like 20 years before it was finally hit. So there's certainly scenarios where that can happen. There's also a version of progressive called a must-hit by progressive, which means that if it reaches that number, it will pay out guaranteed. So it starts at $200, goes to $500. It can be won anytime between $200 and $500, but if it ever reaches $500, it's yours. So that's where understanding how the machines work gets a little more critical, because if you know when a must-hit-buy slot machine is very close to going off and you sit down at the right one at the right time, you could be the one that's guaranteed that win because it has to pay it.
Right. The idea then is being in the right place at the right time. Huh.
Right. And obviously, to some degree, that's always the way it works with slots. But in this, it's a bit more of a calculated piece of knowledge, right? You know that this slot machine has an upper limit on its progressive. You can see that the progressive is really high. And you can even sometimes know how much you'd have to wager to get it. And so you could do some math and say, oh, this is definitely worth my time. Or no, it's not worth my time.
Right. So anyway, let me put this. In my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, it's pretty easy, wrong way to put it. If I'm looking at slot machines, so going there with my buddy, spend a couple of bucks, maybe before I meet a date at the bar or whatever else, or maybe before we go to the ball game or after the ball game to wind down a bit before I go home, we're not going to be out more than what we're willing to, easily spend, right? Isn't that
right?
Interesting. But there's people, we talked about this off the air for a bit, that you can use advantage play to get ahead of the game. Can you explain a little bit about that, please?
So the must-hit-buy progressive is an example of advantage play because you know with certainty how much away from paying out it has to go maximum. Another example of advantage play, there are newer games which have what's called accumulators, and so there are things you collect as you play the game. And when certain scenarios happen, then it pays out. So an example of that is a game called Scarab. Scarab is built to be played in 10 spin cycles. You play your first 9 spins. Every time a Scarab appears, it gives you a border. On spin 10, every space that has a border will turn wild. You could collect a whole screen of wilds by spin 10. But if someone forgets to finish all 10 spins, you can look at that machine and say, hey, there's a lot of gold borders on that. If I play 3 spins, I'm going to guarantee to make all those turn wild. So you know that there's a really good chance you're going to win some good money by doing that. And there's a lot of those machines that are in casinos nowadays. So, and that's another example of an advantage play scenario where people can actually walk around the casino, check machine by machine. It's kind of boring if you're going there for entertainment, but if you're there to do a little bit of work and try to make money, it's certainly one possibility of how you could do it.
Sure. Guy, I know it's not cheating per se, but why do I have the feeling that's cheating?
Well, so the casinos don't care because the machines are still designed with that great math to pay back a certain percentage over the long term. So who cares if you're the one that walks up and takes the big pay? They know the next person's not going to get it, right? So to casinos, they're accepting of anything that will achieve the goal, and they know that this attracts a certain type of player. So having those machines in their casino actually draws more players, and so to them it's an investment that pays off.
Right, because once you get that big payoff, whatever it might be, you might be tempted to play some blackjack, craps, there you go, craps, or give them back that money and another slot machine altogether different. Because they know once they have you, they have a good opportunity to keep you and keep you money. Do I understand that aspect correctly? We lost him. I'm sorry. We lost our... Oh, here he is. He's back in. We lost him. Last segment. Bring him back in. Ah, thank you for calling
sorry
back
about
in.
That.
I
don't know
apologize.
What happened there.
We lost Ethan Hall. Oh, it happens. I'm sorry. I think it's fascinating how slot machines are something as simple as... Well, it's complicated. But simply a simple first appearance of slot machine can be used to keep somebody in a casino far longer saying they might go be in there for if they came in there to play, let's say, blackjack or craps. That's fascinating.
Well, keep in mind that every game and the casino itself is designed with that in mind, right? So there's always the stuff that people love to point out. I can't find a clock in here. Well, they don't want you to know what time it is, right? There's no windows. Well, they don't want you to know it became nighttime 4 hours ago, right?
Right.
There's stuff that's kind of nonsense that people say, like, oh, they make the carpet weird patterns to make you dizzy and get lost. That's not true. but there's... that's more for stain management, so you don't notice that someone, you know, dropped their drink over there or something
right.
like that.
But
casinos do have – part of it is obviously designed to encourage people to stay as long as possible, so they definitely create scenarios that get you really energized. And, you know, they also know some percentage of gamblers who are having a bad night go on tilts, and they will keep playing to try to make their money back. They know some percentage are winning, and they'll stay because they don't have the impulse to walk away when they're up. You know, there's a lot of that. Unfortunately, too, but the game design definitely is a part of all of it.
Well, I mean, to me, if I'm thinking that I'm going to spend $20, I'm getting close to that, I'm down $18, I know it's time for me to think about going to my car, it's time to go home. That's why I bring somebody with me, because they'll be there and say, hey, Wayne, I've noticed that you're down $18, it's time to go. You know, because
yeah.
I'm all too tempted to go from $20 to $25, $25 to $30. Oh my God, I just put in my rent. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I honestly, in the book, I talk about bankroll management as an important aspect of planning your casino trip. Know how much you're going to bring. Know what you can afford. Think about leaving your debit and credit cards at home so you don't have the temptation to pull money, or leave your wallet in leave your cards in your car or whatever, where they're not in your pocket, so the temptation is lower and you don't make the mistake of trying to go back for more money. And to kind of keep yourself disciplined, you know, set a time limit, put a timer on your phone so you know, oh, geez, I've been here 3 or 4 hours, it's time to go home, you know, just so you don't lose track of time and you kind of keep yourself disciplined. There's very basic things that people can do to really improve their ability to keep control of the situation if they tend to get lost in the time and space that is a casino.
Sure, sure. Because it's not the casino's job to take care of your money, it's your job. Wow.
Yeah, I will again give credit to some casino companies. There's companies like MGM that are part of a program called GameSense, and they do in certain markets have the ability for you to, for instance, set a spending limit. And so the machine will actually prompt you, "Hey, I notice you're near your spending limit. Are you sure you want to keep going?" They'll put a timer in and say, "Hey, you've been playing for 2 hours. Are you ready for a break yet?" And they have counselors on site if you need someone to talk to. So I'll give credit to certain casino companies that are taking
Absolutely.
That seriously. But not everybody's doing that for sure. And so, you know, at the end of the day, a player should do what they can to make sure that they're taking care of themselves and not creating a situation that could put them in a place they're not happy about and break a machine.
break a machine, right, or spend your rent money. That's why I bring Jason, because we usually go to Pennsylvania for a bit, then we go to Hooters for a meal, then we go home. Bullshane. It's like male rituals. You know, you can't beat it. Have we spent money? Yeah. But we earned that money. We want that enjoyment, that entertainment value, right? Yeah, absolutely. Now, we see the clock is running down on the show, so I need to ask you two more questions. First, what do you think is going to happen in the slot machine industry in the near future, say the next 5 years?
So, first of all, the short-term impact of what's going on today is probably going to have an impact on things, because many of these companies have had to pause development because there's just nothing to release it to yet, right? But I think over the next 5 years, you're seeing sort of dabbling with experiments around things like skill-based slots and skill-based games. You're seeing evolutions of what constitutes a slot. The form factors are changing. They're getting bigger, the giant screens and things like that to pull people in. You're seeing less machines on the floor as well. There's more space between machines. This is not the casinos are finding this actually is a better long-term play to make the
sure.
make it not feel so claustrophobic.
Yep.
Especially with COVID, it's going to be even more so. But the games themselves, computers are getting more powerful. The math gets more complicated. So I think that the games are just going to get more interesting and have more depth to them as you go, which encourages people to play them longer. And find sort of these different things that they wouldn't find on the first play.
Absolutely. And maybe make it. Kind of what's that called? Zima had a game, Farmville, where if you did X amount, your friends were doing more, you could invest more money in the game so you could have bragging rights, right? I'm surprised Slack
mm-hmm.
don't do that. I'm surprised they don't have a system.
So
where...
WMS had something called Player's Life 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer now, which was actually you could log in to a slot machine with your username and password, and it would remember your progress on a game. And so you would unlock new bonuses and things like that.
Okay.
Nothing that would change the payout of the game, to my knowledge, but it was designed to sort of encourage loyalty so you'd get to the end
right.
and find even more cool things.
Yeah, right.
It just didn't take off. A lot of people weren't comfortable with it. It's certainly possible that could come back around again, but after a failure like that, people tend to be more hesitant. What you're seeing instead is things like, as I said, skill-based games. Like there's actually a multiplayer Pac-Man at MGM Grand that you can sit down and play against other people and win money if you're the winner. So it's not a traditional slot in that way, but it's a skill-based game. And there are slots mm-hmm. that kind of blend skill and luck. So you have the luck aspect of the reels, and then you can have a skill-based bonus.
Sure.
You might see more of that coming out too. There's definitely companies that are working on those types of games as well.
It's fascinating stuff in the future. Now, we have to talk about myths. Let's discuss the myths and see if they're true or not. I have read in more than one place that that machines near an aisle pay out more. Is that true?
Everything that I've seen says that if that was true, it's not true anymore. So there may have been a case 20 years ago that some slot floor people thought that would make for more exciting moments. What you see instead is that people just play the end slots more often. With the number of new casinos opening up, you can actually see on progressives as they move up which games are getting played more, and the ones in the aisles get played more. So if they get played more, you're going to see people win more because there's just more people playing, right?
That's good slang. Interesting.
Let's just go one point further because this covers a few other myths in the same category. Nowadays, a slot floor director has a goal for how much they want to make off their casino floor. And so they will set all of the machines at a payback level that will meet that goal on an average, right? Most slots have a certain number of settings on what you can set the payback. Some are higher, some are lower. And so the casino will just choose the one closest to what they want to accomplish. And they tend to not change it once it's set up. So it's pretty much left that way until they either change the game or replace it altogether.
Wow. Next question. Is it true that
yep.
casinos pump oxygen into the gaming floor?
No. In fact, if they were to do something like that with all the smoking that goes on with most casinos, they'd probably have a lot more explosions because oxygen is very flammable and can be
yeah.
detonated, right? They don't need to do those types of things. Fragrances, sometimes they'll do. If you go into certain casinos, there's
yeah.
a scent to that. You can actually buy the scents of certain Las Vegas casinos online. It's pretty fascinating if you want to have that at your – if you want to smell like the wind at home, you can do that, which is kind of fun. But they tend to play with fragrances more than anything else, and that's just to cover up the cigarette smoke and all that kind
sure.
of stuff too, you know?
I'm surprised. I'm going to mispronounce this word because of that horrible case of stroke voice, which I apologize for. I'm surprised they don't use pheromones.
Pheromones?
Yeah.
I don't. I presume that's part of the scent math, but I'm not as strong in that kind of stuff, you know?
Nor am I. I mean, to me, I'm nobody. I'm just me, right? But if I was going to run a casino, I would do that as bare minimum. I'd also have as many of my floor personnel as I could be females, attractive females at that, even if they walked up down the aisle and say hi to people, because nothing will get more men to stay to do something than an attractive woman. Now,
well, I will say that if you're looking for that kind of experience in Las Vegas, you should go over to Oyo, which you mentioned Hooters. They've got the Hooters restaurant in the back, but they also have all the women in these – it used to be a Hooters hotel, and so they've got, attractive dealer women and that kind of stuff going on. But I wanted to go back to the scent thing real quick. There actually
Please.
Was a study that said that scents encouraged players to spend more time on a casino floor. So that's also there's also is a little bit of a science behind that. They did a study and said that scented floors did better than unscented floors.
Well, I mean, the idea of making somebody stay and feel comfortable is bonus. There's no getting around that. I mean, I can tell you I would not stay at a casino where I smelled piss on the carpets, right? If it was dirty,
right.
If it was filthy. If I went to my, if I was going to place the slot machines, it was covered in cigarette ash, I'd get up to leave. And I suspect they make them as clean as possible for that very reason. Huh.
You would hope
very,
so.
Very,
The COVID situation is going to make a lot of us very happy because a lot of times that wasn't the case when casinos got busy. So now they're going to have to be, have no choice but to be cleaner now. So that's going to be a good thing for everybody.
Well, it's not good for everybody. Now, I got to ask you one very important question. You mentioned that hotel that used to be, the hotel casino that used to be Hooters. Do they have a party?
Yes.
Let me make sure
they don't have a
correctly.
Classic party pit in the way that you would think of it, like at Planet Hollywood or Paris or things like that, where they have the dancers. But they do have, the females in kind of like the short shorts and that kind of stuff, like the Hooters style outfits. So it's kind of that mode more than like a dancer mode or anything like that.
Thank you very much. Now you have me in a quandary. I don't know if I'm going to stay at Golden Gate or if I'm going to go there when I go to Vegas. It has to be one of the two. It has to have a party pit. It absolutely has. And dancing dealers are bonus. Interesting, to say the least. In a couple of minutes, could you give us three top things you would do if you're going to a casino for the first time to play slot machines? What would be your pieces of advice?
Very first thing you should do the first time you ever step into a new casino is get a player's card. The player's card is your ticket to a guaranteed payback in certain forms, such as comps. That you earn to come back to the casino, comps you earn just for gambling, discounts that you get at shops just for having the card. The player's card is sort of a two-way agreement. You agree to let the casino track how much you gamble and where and how much you spend and where. In return, they're going to reward you by giving you those comps. They want to know a little bit about you so they know what will bring you back. But at the same time, you want to get something out of the arrangement too. And so that's what a player's card does. If you gamble without a player's card, you're freely giving away those freebies that are built into their budget. And is part of what's sort of the math of what you should expect out of a casino. So don't give up the freebies. The second thing that you should do, as I think I mentioned earlier, is make sure you go into a casino knowing what your budget is. And that's really important because you don't want to go into a scenario where you end up spending more than you can afford or don't cut yourself off at the right time. And the final thing that you should do is just make sure that you understand sort of the lay of the land. If you're new to a casino, penny slots will be in one place, high limit slots will be in another, tables in another. You don't want to sit down in a machine thinking it's a penny slot and it's a dollar slot, and then you put 20 in and then your money's gone in three spins. Everybody who's gambled long enough has made that mistake every once in a while. But the more you understand sort of a casino layout and where you're playing, the more likely you're not going to make that kind of a mistake.
If you walked into your casino for the first time and you didn't know what was going on with different games were located, could you go to a member of that staff and say, I'm looking for penny slots, can you direct me? Would they do so?
100%. They're there to make sure that you can find exactly what you're looking for and to be able to have a good time. So that if you ask them where the penny slots are located, they might have a few sections, but they'll definitely make sure you can find them.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. So I'll let you go so I can do the close here, and I'll talk about the great books that we did and why people should go out and buy many copies because they need one. They need to give a copy to all their friends and probably their pets too. But thank you so much for being on the show, sir. It's been a pleasure talking to you and being with you.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
You too. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
A great guy. I can't think of anybody else I ever could want to meet on Twitter than this guy. He is so great. He's such a fun guy to talk to. He's so knowledgeable. I was willing to give up my 2-week vacation with Amy Adams and Lindsay Lohan. And that's how much he means to me, and that's how much you mean to me as well, my listeners. If you want to support what we're doing here, please go to two things. You want to go to knowyourslots.com and check out his website. It's also his Twitter handle. And please go to Amazon and buy three copies of Mr. Big Talk Slots. I mean, it's a really cool thing to do. You can learn a lot. Absolutely. He's absolutely correct. You read the book, you follow the simple ideas that he has there. That's going to pay you back the $2.99. Even getting that player's card will pay you back the $2.99, I'm thinking. Anyway, I do appreciate your time. I apologize for my weird stroke voice. It happens. since the strokes, once in a while my voice just does weird things. My jaws don't work right. It happens. It's better than being dead, I guess. Anyway, thanks again. Appreciate it, y'all. Have fun. Talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.